Did you see this recent state audit report? Of course you did, because it was actually WACC listeners who sent this to me. A total of 27 bulletproof vests valued at more than $12,000 apparently went missing from the state judicial branch over a two-year period, creating a possible threat to public safety and certainly making us wonder, wait a minute, we spent all that money and where did it go? That's according to a recent state audit. And so joining us now back on the show is John Garagosian, who is a state auditor for our great state of Connecticut. Hey, John, welcome back.
Nice to be with you this morning.
So just to be clear, state auditor, okay, this is not the person to get mad at. He is the person who is pumping out the information. I always say don't shoot the messenger. But John, tell us a little bit more about these recent findings.
Well, this one's a little different than normal in the sense that state agencies are required to report to our office and the state comptroller when they're missing things or they can't account for things. In most cases, that's due to inventory. An agency gets something new and doesn't account for the old things. It could be furniture. It could be equipment. It could be computers. And our office reports these losses to the governor and the legislature every month. Now, in this case, Judicial reported two instances to us in which they couldn't account for vests. As a result, when we went in to do our audit, we decided to look further at this issue. And that's when we found the 27 missing vests.
Now, the obvious question, are they actually missing or were they just falsely saying that they purchased them, but they never really did?
No. They bought and they listed on their inventory about 1,427 vests. So the good news is they can account for all, 1,400 of them. They couldn't account for 27. The answer is we don't know what happened to those vests. The only things they accounted for is in two cases, one of the staff members claimed they returned the vest. And the other one, they said the vest was destroyed due to a biohazard as a result of a car accident. But that's kind of the problem. It's like we don't know. And because of the nature of these vests, not everybody can own these things. And obviously we're concerned about the cost of the state, too.
Right. I mean, so according to this CT Insider article, which is where we learned about this first, in written responses, the judicial branch agreed with the findings of your audit and pledged to do a better job with inventory, acknowledging the importance of maintaining accountability over state assets, particularly these ballistic vests, given the risks associated with unauthorized use. I'm at a loss because is it a situation, John, where people were given these vests, but they were using them? I don't want to say for personal use, but that they just didn't have to give them back. Is it kind of like when you give a key card to a company, but then you're either fired or you go for another job and you don't return the key card? Like, is that the situation we're seeing?
The answer is we don't know, and that's kind of the problem. Judicial has policies and procedures for the handling of these vests that they're supposed to be kept. Well, they're supposed to be issued directly to a certain employees. And when they're not issued, if the employee turns them back in, they're supposed to be kept under lock and key. They just can't account for these 27 vests in this case. Now, I think they've also told us they're transitioning to a different system to account for these things. Judicial is a separate branch of government. I don't think they do everything on the state's regular accounting system, too. So that's another factor. But certainly they have a policy on how to handle these and other kind of sensitive materials, handcuffs, shackles, guns. So, they basically weren't following their own policy.
Well, and so we have the issue of money, right? So, $12,000 is nothing to scoff at. And if it's, vests that are missing, it kind of leads to the question of, well, what else? This audit obviously specifically looked at the vests. But among other issues cited in the audit, reports not being filed on time, which John and I, we've talked about this so many times in other audit reports, not this one, but others. Internal systems not being deactivated in a timely manner for employees no longer working there, and the lack of a disaster recovery plan in the event of an emergency. That's the part that that bugs me. So, yes, can we do a better job cleaning up, filing things on time, internal systems, of course. But again, you and I have talked on this show several times about that exact issue with other agencies, departments, what have you. The lack of disaster recovery plans in an emergency coupled with missing bulletproof vests, that's my concern, not just the money portion of this, but the safety portion of this. That is honestly, which sounds crazy because everybody cares about the money, but I'm more worried about, you know, are these safety concerns?
Well, the disaster recovery plan finding relates to their IT systems. So it's not that they don't have a plan should there be a disaster at a courthouse or something like that. It has to do with their IT. I mean, we're concerned about that always, and it's unfortunately a common finding, that and the not deactivating employees. When an employee leaves, they shouldn't have access to computer systems. They shouldn't have access to the state, to CORE, which is a state accounting system, which is where we put our timesheets in. Things can go wrong when those things don't occur. I mean, you got to make sure that when somebody leaves, they're automatically, you know, they lose access to their key card access, their computer access, their CORE access. So, and then obviously in the reports, we talked about this before, you know, sometimes agencies claim that the reports are no longer needed or they report the information in some other report. And we just say to them, you know, go to the legislature and get the law changed if that's true.
You have nothing to be sorry about, John. I guess it just seems like being lazy. I don't know. I'll be the bad guy in this chat. It just seems lazy to me. Like, so, for example, you know, when you hear that reports aren't being filed on time or internal systems are not being deactivated in a timely manner, that's lazy. Or it's just being overlooked and not caring for. But I mean, back to the vest situation, how do you know that unauthorized people now have vests and are able to access them? Or to your point, being able to access internal systems, but they don't work there anymore. That's ridiculous.
Yeah, I mean, they're innocent explanations. These things get damaged. They get worn out. They're no longer, you know, they could have been no longer, you know, sufficient to do what they're supposed to be doing. Those are the innocent explanations. Other times they could have been stolen, you know. So we just say that they have to do a better job of accounting. And I have to say, I mean, one of the other issues is related to the disconnecting employees and everything else is judicial is obviously all over the state. So it's often a disconnect that, you know, there's a time where they don't know the employee left. And one department within the other. So obviously we look for them to streamline those issues, that there's a process that when somebody leaves, everybody knows that has to know to make sure that they deactivate system access.
John Garagosin is with us, one of Connecticut's auditors. We've had Craig Miner on as well in the past with John. They're thick as thieves, and we love chatting with them. So we're talking about this audit report today, which has to do with missing bulletproof vests. And we first heard about this in a Connecticut Insider report. The judicial branch inventory records as of April 2025 included over 1,400 ballistic vests valued at over $690,000. The estimated cost of the 27 missing ballistic vests is more than $12,000, according to this report. And the finding has not been reported in previous audits. I don't know. Did I ask you this before, John? Why was this first ordered? Was this something that the governor requested, or why were you guys looking into this?
The agency reported to us.
Got it.
So judicials, I mean, they are a good reporting. I mean, in terms of reporting matters to our office, they're very prudent and they do. So, you know, we appreciate it. And it wasn't like a gotcha thing on our part. It's just like we wanted to look at this further because it, you know, obviously raised some alarms, especially due to the nature of them being these items.
So the judicial branch is a big one, by the way. It's a really important one. And I also was reading that a review of statutorily required reports found three instances in which the judicial branch did not promptly submit reports and submitted the 2024 pretrial and diversionary program report 22 days late. Now, of course, I don't know if that's that big of a deal, if this is more of like a headliner, but I think that the big thing here is, does this kind of diminish oversight? Does it make people then question unnecessarily if things are running properly or not?
Well, I mean, that's what we, that's what we're concerned about. And in all of our findings, we have the effect or what we deem the effect. And, you know, it precludes the decision makers from having all the information they need. The legislature's in session right now, so there's a reason for these reports. And as I said before, if they're no longer necessary or if it's reported in some other place, they have to go back to the legislature and get the law changed. And we've even suggested there's a new government oversight committee that it have a hearing on all of these findings related to these reports and have the agencies come in and say, you know, well, this is no longer needed, and maybe they can remove some of those requirements.
So what else would you recommend? So following this audit, what were some of the things that you recommended auditors said to the judicial branch?
Well, I mean, most of them have to do with controls. If you look at the, you know, the finding about the vests, there was miscoding of grants. There was the filing of reports, the system access, and the lack of attendance certification approvals. Those all had to do with, you know, doing a better job of following their own policy, state policy, and making sure that these things don't slip through the cracks.
I mean, are those quick fixes? I would think so, right?
Yeah,
it's
in
just
many
kind
cases,
of behavioral.
Yeah. In many cases, it's just, you know, they, you know, like I said, in the case of the vests, we had 1,427 vests. They couldn't account for 27. So the positive news is they could account for 1,400 of them. You know, as things slip through the cracks, and even, you know, in each of our findings, we'll say we looked at a certain universe of people or events, and, you know, it's not a huge number. But certainly it's an alarm, you know. So I think in most cases the branch agreed with our findings and recommendations. So we've talked about this before, we follow up on all of our findings and recommendations in the next audit. For instance, the last audit of judicial had 6 recommendations and they resolved 4 of them. So there's only 2 repeat findings in this audit.
Have you talked to the governor or the comptroller about these audit findings? And if so, what was sort of their response?
We haven't talked to the governor. We met with the governor maybe a month ago just to talk generally about our office and, you know, answer his questions. Obviously, there have been some concerns about the grants that have been out there that have been in the news. So we kind of we gave him our recommendations as the result to tighten some of those issues.
And the judicial branch, they've obviously responded. They seem to agree on all fronts with the findings and the recommendations.
Yes.
So here's my question for you, John. And I think the last time I had you and Craig on to talk about this, I don't remember which one of you answered, but are you finding that there are more and more requests for audit reports, or are we just recognizing it more in the news?
Well, we have to audit every state agency and every quasi-public agency approximately every 2 years. So that's a compliance audit. So that's looking at whether they're following state law, their own policies, state regulations, and the like, and oftentimes prudent business practices. We also do a federal audit that we released the other day, last Friday, that looks at the big federal programs, and the federal government has us do this. And then we have a small performance audit unit. So that is where we're getting the requests from legislators most often. And we only have limited capacity in that area.
Okay. But I guess the reason I ask that is because it feels like I am seeing audit reports more and more in the news in the last year and a half in Connecticut. And I don't know if those are requests coming from lawmakers, if that's coming from the public. I mean, same thing with FOI requests. Or maybe it's just local news highlighting it more, but it just feels like every time I sneeze, there's another Connecticut audit being highlighted in Connecticut news.
Most of the audits you see, the ones of the agencies we're required to do approximately every 2 years.
Okay. So you've been doing your job. It's just a matter of we're covering it, I guess, better. I'm not talking about me, but
We changed the format and the look of our audits a couple of years ago, and I think that's given them a lot more attention. And we have a one-page summary that really does a good job of highlighting at least the major findings. So I think that's made a big difference.
Well, John Garagosa, I want to thank you and Craig, Craig Miner, for the work that you do, our Connecticut auditors. And thank you for making the time to come on WICC and walk us through these reports. I am going to link the judicial branch full audit, if people want to read it, to John's podcast on our website, voiceofct.com. Thank you, John. We'll talk soon.
Thank you. And Craig sends his regards.
Thank you, Craig. We missed you today, Craig. But yes, next time you and Craig back on. I love chatting with you guys. Thank you again.